You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 8th of September. The season reviews and look ahead of our player series begins today with Mike Conley. It is Locked On Jazz. Pow! I've got this new professional open. I got to figure out where it fits in and how it goes and how the butt ump bump still exists and how I don't entirely know where to put that thing now. Does it go right after the Locked On and then I go? Does it go after the butt ump bump? I don't know. You guys will have to tell me. We'll all figure it out. All right, here's what we're going to do this week. We're going to run through Jazz players. We're going to start with our ball handlers, and we're going to kind of review their season. There's a really cool site called B-Ball Index, and that's going to be kind of the first step. On the first, we're going to look at B-Ball Index. They break down the players in all sorts of different ways. Then we're going to look at the players' career trends and kind of see, like, you know, what's going on in that regard. And then we'll try to look at some other, we'll dig deeper and try to see if we can find some other aspects and look at different things and different, you know, I don't know, see what we can learn about our guys and what's and who they are and what they brought to the table this year and really maybe most importantly, what we have for them going forward. So that's the goal. So we're going to start with our ball handlers. So we're going to start with our venerable one, Mike Conley. And we probably should have waited till later in the week when he has his 33rd birthday on October 11th. So happy birthday to Mike, father of three now. Congratulations to he and his wife. So let's take a look at Mike Conley. And as I said, B-Ball Index does this kind of great job of looking at him and what he his key things are. And the top talents, they say, for Mike Conley are playmaking, perimeter shooting, ability to score one-on-one, and they actually have ability to cover and disrupt perimeter defense, which I'm surprised because I didn't think Mike had a particularly great year defensively. So let's take a look at some of the first things they kind of talk about is opportunity and usage rate and total usage and offensive load and some of those aspects of him. He had 64 touches a game. This has, and his team touch share was 10%. That is actually incredibly low for a point guard. This is where his adjustment was. His touches were 78th percentile in the league. His team total touch share was 48%. Now, his ball control percentage, which they keep in team time possession, is at 89 and 71%. Those are up for him, and we're comparing him to about 212 different players that fit into this kind of aspect of who he is as a player. So when you start to look at, you know, who he is and what he's doing, some of these numbers are actually even more surprising when you narrow it down like to the 45 point guards. Suddenly his team time of possession share is 20%. His ball control time is 53%. His team touch time is in the 18th percentile. His usage rate about average. And so when we start to compare Mike Conley to the 45 point guards, what we see is a player who had to learn this year to play without the basketball a great deal. They do some other things contextually to kind of set up the data. So his playmaking, lineup playmaking, when he's on the floor, the basketball index gives the Jazz an F for that, but lineup spacing an A. So this is really important when we get to the third part of this in regards to what can Mike Conley bring to the future. Spacing is an A. Playmaking's not always the great, the best. Offensive talent, B+. And some of those aspects, his matchup difficulty, we probably tried to keep him away from some of those things. So let's look at his perimeter shooting. We're now comparing Mike to the 45 point guards that are out there and kind of limiting it to that, though I think I'm going to wind it out a little bit and take it to just guards, because I think that's a little bit of where we're going to be talking about as we get to this. So we're now comparing Mike to 103 kind of guard type players in the league. And so when you get to his perimeter shooting, his catch and shoot shooting this year, actually surprisingly at 40% grades out as a 63 percentile and as a B minus, and his pull up as a B and his three as a B. I was really surprised when I thought, because I would have thought to myself, you know what? Mike Conley gets an open look. I'm ecstatic. When you compare him just to a point guard, interestingly, his pull up shooting moves to an A minus. His catch and shoot, though, dips to a C plus. So his catch and shoot shooting was not great this year. His above the break 3-point shooting for the entire season was not great. He actually, when matching up just in those 45 point guards, they give Basketball Index actually gives him a D in that category. If you widen it out and include it to all 100 guards, which I've now done again, it's a D plus. His open rating, he was a B, so he's open percentage of 3-point attempts or open was 22%. That's in the 71st percentile. And we take a look at that. His total gravity 3-point shooting, they did not give him a very good rating. A little bit surprising there. His shot creation three, though, they give it to him. So their feeling was a little bit that Mike Conley had to create a lot of his shots. He wasn't, did not really just become a pure catch and shoot guy in our offense, which gets back to that spacing. Did he take advantage of that enough? The next thing they look at is kind of off-ball movement. I'm not really going to dig into it that deeply. There's nothing really there for it, but he's not used to playing off the ball to create his activity, which I think is kind of worth noting about an adjustment that he probably has to play a little bit. If we look at him as a one-on-one isolation player, Basketball Index grades him as a C, but they give his isolation impact an A. In other words, when he's in his isolation, he's doing something, creating for some other people, probably better. His turnover rate, though, a D minus, and his isolation foul drawing, a C plus. So that's a little surprising. He goes right more than he goes left in those. His overall finishing, again, not great grades for Mike on some of these things, and his foul drawing not as high. I think we'll see that as he gets older. He gets a B for his assist to points to playmaking. He gets a B for his passing creation. But his efficiency, they did not give him a very good grade. This is really interesting. Passing efficiency looks at high-value assists and bad pass turnovers numbers along with ball control percentage to gauge which players are more efficient with their possessions and time to create scoring opportunities for teammates. It's a stat that is unique to Basketball Index. I think I'm just trying to be non-subjective and just use their system. Mike got an F for this. It seems surprising to me, but of the 103 guards we're comparing him to, his turnover rate, his passive aggressiveness was a D plus. His passing efficiency was an F. I'm surprised by that. His passing creation quality on the other end, so this is kind of weird, assists by the range on the court as well as the conversion rates for potential assists on assists from that player and also versus some of the passes from teammates to capture, he gets an A. So I'm not sure how those two go together. I'm a little confused on how, and I'll hopefully have an answer for you later. How can you have a F in passing efficiency and an A in pass creation? And I'll have to figure that out. But I think that is a little bit of getting into Mike's game is that, you know, he's just so used to creating all the time. He gets a B for playmaking talent, and we moved him away from that. Rebounding is not something we really think of him doing. He didn't grade particularly well. Perimeter defense, he did grade all right. Loose ball recovery rate, he gets a B. Pickpocketing rate, he gets a C. 3-point contest, he gets a B plus. His steals and deflections, though, D minus and a D out of the 100 guards. So lack of length, lack of size, and then not really shot disruption. He got a D plus. Hunted in perimeter, he got hunted a pretty good amount. So that was a little surprising to see some of those numbers there. But when you start to look at what he had to do defensively, he matched up against mega creators, the most active offensive player 7.3% of the time, primary creators, which is in the 90th percentile and high, primary creators 63%. So is there a way, as Mike now hits 33 and we move forward, that we can do something to protect him out of those. We did a pretty good job overall. He guarded the tier one and tier two guys less than he has in the past and spent most of his time guarding usage tier three and tier four. But some of those point guards, whether it's a Dame or a Westbrook, he just has to guard. There's nothing he can do about that. That's why, you know, if you look at it, 7.3% mega creator, 7.3% against an all-star player as well. So that's kind of the way they looked at him. Then they B-Ball Index does a nice job of bringing together kind of all of the different aspects of, you know, whether it's RPM, Raptor, box plus minus, all these advanced metric systems. So real plus minus, he got a D this year. Raptor, he got a D minus. Box plus minus, he got a C. So those are some, I really felt as though, you know, effective field goal percentage overall, he got a D minus. Points per shot, he got a D. Transition points per play, he got a B plus. Pick and roll, spot up, he got a B. Pick and roll man, he's not going to be the roll man. Pick and roll, he's going to be the handler. He got a D plus. So really surprising to me to see all these numbers on a year where I felt like Mike got better and better as the year went on. And we'll break that down when we continue. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai, located at 4646 South State Street, also located in Logan and in Linden, bringing you the excellent Palisade on the big end of the SUV, or the Kona on the small zippy end, or the Santa Fe, which my parking lot in my house, which looks like a Santa Fe Hyundai parking lot, because we've got Santa Fe after Santa Fe after Santa Fe in our parking lot, looking at all of them. And they're great. I absolutely love the cars we've bought from Murdoch Hyundai. I can just tell you, honestly, I've bought two cars from Murdoch Hyundai. We both went through the process with my son. We looked at all the safety features. We totally were the family, thought he was going to get the beat up car. And then when it got time and you saw all the safety features and all the safety ratings for Hyundai and the right price and everything else, we ended up getting him a Hyundai Santa Fe. And we're going to do, and we've done the same. We've, and our last buy is a Hyundai Santa Fe, which will probably end up being for my daughter. We looked at just the value you get for the dollar, the testing of the car, how nice the car is, the size, we just loved it. And then the service we've had is great. If you're going to go get a Hyundai, stop by 4646 South State Street in Murray, Logan, or Linden, and make sure you email me first at dlock09@gmail.com. Today's show is also brought to you by my friends over at SOS Support. These guys are making a chance for you to make your company great. It's really that simple. That's what's so cool about, like, starting a business is hard. Trust me. And then having a company succeed is even harder, because what ends up happening is a business owner starter. I mean, I'm telling you something you already know, but you get into this. If I'm telling your story, then you know why we need SOS Support. Your business owner, you get this, you got a vision, you're doing this. Well, now all of a sudden you got to deal with HR and you got to deal with IT, and like, that's not, if you were great at that, you'd be doing IT, right? Like, you'd be Jason and you'd be Scott, but no, you're not. You're building your company. You're doing what the guys at KT Tape did. So what did KT Tape do? They call SOS Support. And what does SOS Support do? They can help any business. They can do it with a hybrid plan starting at just $10 per computer. Fully outsourced plans are customized to your business. And we also can provide supplemental IT support for existing IT departments. So they really do it all. They're passionate about your business. They want to take care of your IT and let you do what you're great at. Make sure your network's secure. There's no one that's going to hack. No backup solutions. We're not going to end up with some crazy ransom thing. Take IT from a hassle to something you're not worrying about that they're executing for you perfectly. So if you're a manufacturing client, if you've been hit by ransomware, if your firewall is old and not secure, if you're rebuilding your network and they're building, go call SOS Support right now. 801-563-9700. 801-563-9700. Tell them you're Locked On Jazz. No obligation IT assessment. And we'll include a PCI assessment as well. Scott and Jason. I don't know who Kevin just became. Kevin's going to be their next employee. They just don't know yet. Scott and Jason over at SOS Support. 801-563-9700. So as Mike Conley does not get graded very well by B-Ball Index, and I'm using B-Ball Index grading really on purpose for exactly kind of that reason, to say, hey, let's give an unbiased evaluation of their system, and now let's look at the next level. He starts the year off miserably, has a tough 1-16 game to start. You can tell he's just crazy uncomfortable. And we did. We adjusted his touches, and he didn't have the ball nearly as much, and we was below, like, from a guy who dominated the ball. But then all the injuries. And then he finally gets off on February 1st. He gets off his minute restriction. And if you take February 1st through the bubble, in the final 19 games he plays, he shoots 45% for the field, 42% from three, 90% from the free throw line. He averages 17 points, four rebounds, and five assists. Like, really, that's the guy we were hoping to get. We got him for the last 19 games at 32 minutes a night. He shot 45%, 40% from three, 90% from the free throw line. That's pretty encouraging about what you're going to get. And then after the first two games, he was not in the bubble. When he came back, he finished at 48%, 53% from three, 20 points a game. So while those numbers on his season, I get it, and those are the full capsule, and you've got to look at them, and I'm not saying to ignore them, and that's why I'm using B-Ball Index, because I want to have something that's subjective and that it's not just all my analyzing numbers. Everyone always gives me a hard time that you can take your numbers and turn them any way you want. But let's look at that. Those last 20 games are really what you're looking for. Now, what gets interesting on Mike, and we have to try to kind of look at here now, is, like, is age an issue? He turns 33 later this week. And if we start to look at his effective field goal percentage in his last 3 years, it's a little misleading because he had this, like, unbelievable year in 2016-17, but that really is his prime. He had a 54% effective field goal percentage. His next full season in Memphis, he was at 51, and then this year he's at 49. So there's a little bit of a slide there that's a little disconcerting. The more disconcerting one is the amount of free throw attempts. So he did not shoot free throws very often early in his career. He then moved that 2 to 3 to 5 in his breakout years at 5. But even in Memphis, he was at 5.8. And then for the Jazz, he dropped to 3 free throws a game. Free throw shooting still brilliant. His rebounding was the same. His assist numbers are down, but I don't think it matters. We did hear that steal deflection thing. It's way down. 2.2 was his peak. He's down at 0.8 steals a game in his career. So those are, it does. Like, that has to, if you see that on any 33-year-old, those are the signs that something's slowing down and aging a little bit in the process. His shooting is still great. Like, for all the numbers that weren't so positive there, he shot 37.5% from three. Guess what his career average is? 37.5. So that doesn't seem to be slipping at all in any way, shape, or form. What is interesting is where his shot distribution has changed a little bit. And that's, again, and his turnovers are way up, but that's just a lack of comfort thing that I think he figures out in another year in Utah. His shot distribution is really different than it once was. So his two-point shooting and where he's shooting the basketball is different. His free throw rate slid considerably. He went from a free throw rate of and free throw rate is defined as you're taking your free throws per field goal attempt. So Mike's at his peak was at that great season was at 36.5. Then last year, Memphis at 36.2. And this year is at 24.5. That's the third lowest of his NBA career. So that's now his 3-point shooting rate is up a little bit. It's actually kind of right where it was in his peak year. And what really it is he's not attacking the basket or getting to the rim at all anymore. Now, if that because of Rudy and he's used to playing with a popping big, it's not clear. But for whatever reason, last year, Mike Conley simply didn't get to the rim. Mike Conley shot 13% of his shots at the rim. His five previous seasons, full seasons, 28%, 26%, 20%, 19%, 13%. So that's a little unnerving, right? So you've got some signs here that the Jazz are going to have to keep a really close eye on. Lack of getting to the rim, steal numbers are down, free throw shooting numbers are down. Those are three things that you usually equate with aging. And so that's something that they're going to have to look at. Now, the flip side of this is, his percentage of field goals assisted, remember on the shot creation part, was only 26%. That's a really low number. So somehow in this system, we didn't find a way for him to get looks and take advantage of the system the right way. He just wasn't comfortable with that. I'll bet if we could break that number down throughout the season, it would get better as the year went on. I don't know that. His 3 points assisted did go back up. He went back up to 63%. He'd been in the 50s the last few years. So those are signs he's kind of beginning to get that at a little bit of a higher rate than he would have. The number that is the most startling to me of all for Mike Conley, and it's got to be addressed and figured out for the upcoming season, is a year ago in 70 games and in 2,300 minutes. Now realize the minutes are not the same here. He drew 158 shooting fouls, the most he'd ever drawn in his entire career. Last year, in 1,000 less minutes, so this is about, you know, this is about 40% less time on the floor, he only drew 57. But he had about the exact same amount of offensive fouls. So why is that? Now, he didn't have more shots blocked, which is always an unnerving number. That's not true. His and one was down a little bit. But that's one to keep an eye on. How can he get back to drawing some fouls? That's a drop that either this was the number that you looked at of why you didn't think Mike Conley was aging when the Jazz got him. Was the 158 shooting fouls still means he's beating people and putting them on their back of their heels. And the fact that that number's not there anymore, I think, is an adjustment to the Jazz, not a statement of where Mike is. So at least that's my thought on that. Well, you know, these are the things. All right, what is Mike Conley's role with the Jazz moving forward? We'll talk about that in just a minute. Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. I hope you took advantage of the Built Bar excitement and around their second anniversary and their birthday. Built Bar is unbelievably healthy and ridiculously delicious. And with the promo code Locked On, you can get yourself a killer deal right now on Built Bar. That's right. With the promo code Locked On, you can make your order and then get $10 off your order with Built Bar, because they are going to take care of you. And that is awesome. The Built Bars are just great. Whatever your favorite flavor is, whether it's the caramel brownie, the cookies and cream, the cherry Barcia, those are all the new ones. Or maybe you love the orange, the mint brownie. I was listening to one of our podcasts. The guy was talking about the orange one. I agree. Orange Dreamsicle is like the risky flavor to go try to recreate, and they've done it. So go to BuiltBar.com right now and place your order for Built Bar. The promo code LOCKEDON gets you $10 off your next order. If you've already used it, you can use it again. So jump on. And speaking of food, we all want to help our local restaurants. We all want to get food. We all have certain times we've got things, whether it's Chinese, we want a pizza, craving for a froyo, whatever it is, DoorDash can do it for you. The DoorDash app brings you food you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. You open the DoorDash app, you choose what you want to eat. Your food will be left safely outside your door with a new contact delivery system, right? Just set up the drop-off setting the way you want. Many of your local favorite restaurants are there. So just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local restaurant, support them, and get the food left right at your door. Right now, our listeners get $5 off and zero delivery fees for their first order of $15 or more. When you download the DoorDash app, enter LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off, zero delivery fees, $15 or more when you download your DoorDash app and enter the promo code LOCKEDONNBA. So what is Mike Conley's role moving forward with the Utah Jazz? So the interesting one is that Mike Conley spent 100% of his minutes as a point guard and has his entire career. And it is clear that Donovan Mitchell is ready to play with the ball in his hands more than he ever has. And so the thing we're going to have to figure out is, what can we do to make Mike Conley feel comfortable and feel good on the floor with this team, even if it's not always with the ball in his hands? And so really, it's a pretty big adjustment for Mike. The other thing the Jazz did fabulously with Mike was started playing him more and more with the second unit. And I think, you know, that will probably be his primary role next year. Now, We'll get to that as the week goes on. As we look at ball handlers, we're going to look at Joe on Thursday's show, and that gets, you know, that suddenly walks into like, well, how does, what about Joe? And that, so we, you know, our number one strength as a team is that we have multiple ball handlers, and our number one kind of thing we're going to have to figure out is what do we do with our multiple ball handlers, right? It's really interesting. Let's not forget this about Mike Conley. When he was on the floor with Donovan Mitchell, Royce O'Neal, Bojan Bogdanovic, and Rudy Gobert, our starting lineup, plus 11. When he was on the floor with Donovan Mitchell, Royce O'Neal, Joe Ingles, and Rudy Gobert, so Joe Ingles in for Bojan, same group, plus 19.2. And then when Mike Conley was on the floor with Jordan Clarkson, Joe Ingles, George Niang, and Tony Bradley leading that second unit, plus 18. So there you've got like the value that Mike brings to the table. One, when he's on the floor with the starters, we're good when he's on the floor. The only lineup that didn't work is when we put Bojan and Joe on the floor together with Mike, but that doesn't work. Like Bojan and Joe and Mike and Donovan, that's just, it's not a lineup you're going to see a lot of. Bojan and Joe probably, I would guess, don't have good numbers together. Like it's not a great athletic, long, defensive lineup when those two are on the floor together. In fact, it's minus 7. So that's not Mike Conley's fault. That's that combination of players is not a lineup that worked well. So for all this talk, for the basketball index grades, for the numbers not being the same, for the aging signs, the veteran presence that Mike Conley brings to this floor, to this team, that's really impressive, is that in all these different lineups, he's positive. Mike Conley, Jordan Clarkson, Royce O'Neal, Bojan Bogdanovic, Rudy Gobert played sparingly plus 23. And that's what Mike Conley brings to the table. And that's why he opts in. He takes his $30 million. It feels like a lot. It was totally worth taking it. It didn't meld as well as we would have thought it was going to meld. I think all of us were on board with it. We can't be revisionist history about that. But the fact is, when you look at what he does, he makes his teammates better. That's to me the most interesting aspect of, and he's always been this way. He's always been this way. When you look at Memphis, there always were better when he was on the floor. This year with us, most of the guys played better. Like the whole Joe Ingles doesn't shoot when he's on the floor with Mike Conley, right? But the team's awesome. So, yeah, it's hard on Joe, but the team's great when Mike Conley is on the floor with Joe Ingles. So obviously that's working. It's, and that's the most important feature to Mike Conley is that, you know, if we want to break it down in the regular season this year, when Mike Conley is on the court and Joe Ingles is on the court, the Jazz were plus 1.7 when they were both, when he was off, they were actually plus 3.0. But then if you go to the playoffs, when it happened and you add this in, now when Ingles was on the floor, they were plus 8.4. And when Ingles was off and Mike played without Joe, we were minus 18.7 per 100 possessions. So, you know, that lineup worked. It was positive both ways prior. Mike and Donovan are interesting together because the lack of size. So if you look at the regular season this year, when Mike and Donovan were on the floor together, our defensive rating was pretty high. It was a 107.3. We were great offensively, though, with those two, plus 3.3. When Donovan went off the floor, we went to 0.6, but our defense got way better. But we weren't as good. Our defense did get better, though. If you look in the playoffs, when Mike and Donovan were on the floor together, we were plus 3.8, just about what we were in the regular season. When they went off the floor, we got way worse when Donovan went off the floor. So Mike, maybe the answer on Mike is he needs a little support at this point, but let him run those second units. Let him play his time with a Donovan or with a Joe and have him work and have him be that ball handler, and it all comes together. Excited to see Mike with another year under his vest, understanding what the Jazz want out of him and being comfortable. I think that's the biggest thing. I think we'll see a pretty dramatic change in those unbiased grading systems just through a computer comparing him to 100 other guards. When you go isolate those last 19 games, you look at what the team did with him on the floor, I think you see a better picture. That is our Mike Conley breakdown. Tomorrow we look at Donovan Mitchell. Tuesday edition of Locked On NBA. Coming direction, go check that out. By the way, new Locked On NFL with our local experts as the host and a new NFL show called Peacock and Williamson. If you're an NFL fan, they're doing previews on Locked On NFL to get you ready for the whole season. This is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.